Yeah, I was going to, a very similar line I was going to bring up is that the exhortation at the beginning of the chapter, although specifically here it was the denial of the humanity of Christ, the true test that he says in testing the spirits is what is being taught about the person and work of Christ. That's the ultimate test against every form of godliness and form of religion that we encounter today. The test is, what do they think of who the Lord Jesus Christ is, and what do they think about the work of the Lord Jesus Christ? There are many churches who will minimize the person and the work of Christ. And so the real test in terms of testing the Spirit testifies concerning him. And it's going to testify concerning the whole counsel of the Scriptures concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the point that we just made. And it's very important if we're going to understand what it means to test the Spirit. To test what is the common thought that goes around today, even on religious TV and religious radio. The real test is their assessment of who Jesus Christ is consistent with what the Scripture says about him, and not their own ideas and their own emotions.
Could I follow that thought up there by saying that I see here that the family was being told that they had to have a spirit of discernment, that they were encouraged not just to accept everything that they hear, but to really test it. Believe not, beloved, do not believe the Spirit, but test the Spirit. So they were being admonished to really be discerning as to what they hear and so on.
I'm saying that's particularly important for today, because today in a pluralistic society in which every idea is supposedly given equal weight, every idea is not given equal weight in divine things. Some ideas are bad ideas, and bad ideas have bad consequences. And so we want to be very careful on this point, is to have a right view of the person and work of Christ always, as we measure and see and we hear things that even pass for religious commentary.
Can I ask a question? Brother Hedley, you mentioned, obviously it seems as if the apostle is telling us to have a spirit of discernment. But the question to us is, question we would ask is, how are we able to discern?
Let's try to answer that question exactly from these scriptures. What tools do we have? Not to use a crass word in the word tools, but what tools do we have available to us? What resources do we have available to us, even in these verses, that will help us discern? That's a very important question.
And how are they used?
Sorry?
And how are they used? I mean,
how do we use those resources? What are the resources and how do we use them? Very good. Let's have some thoughts on that.
Verse 4, we get the first introduction of a resource that is a supernatural resource. We have the unction from above. We have the Holy Spirit who wants to instruct us and teach us and will show us the things of Christ. And so we have a divine resource. We have the unction from above.
I was going to say, remember in chapter 2, the little children it was said there that they had this anointing and the same unction. So the youngest, the babe in the family, had the wherewithal in the power of the Spirit to deal with this.
Yeah, I was going to just turn us back there. But
go ahead.
I'll follow up this, and then Tim, you go ahead after that. But in chapter 2, verse 20, just to refer to that specifically, it said, you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. So I think, Mark, you identified what the resource is. The resource is the Holy Spirit. How do we use that resource? That's not quite properly the way to speak of it when we think of using the Holy Spirit. That's not how we would think of that. But how do we allow the Holy Spirit to act, to help us, to identify, to have this discernment? And I think, rather than thinking so much, what do I have to do next? I think we can simply take this verse and rely on the Spirit of God to show us what error is. I think that's one of the things that comes out, that you know all things. It doesn't mean we're omniscient like God, But we will know what we need to know about somebody teaching error regarding the person of Christ. What is the Spirit of God's job? The Spirit of God will take the things of Christ and show them to us. So if his primary enjoyment, if we might say it that way, he loves to speak about the truths of Christ. He loves to uphold the glory of Christ in our hearts and in our lives and our understanding. Then when error comes towards us, we already have the Spirit of God. It ended that way in chapter 3. And therefore, we can rely on that resource. I would not say use, but rely on that resource, the fact that we can expect that God will help us to understand when error comes.
My thing to that is that we have Christians, genuine Christians, right? Who also have the Holy Spirit, just as you and I have the Holy Spirit. And you say they study the scripture, of course. But then the error and stuff concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, and they have the Holy Spirit, right? So in that sense, right, it cannot be something that the Holy Spirit is not doing. So what I'm saying is, it got to be something that, you know, we, you know, there's something lacking in us, really.
Good. It's a good observation. Let's add on to that.
Again, address that. You already said what I was going to say before.
Okay.
But
go ahead.
But I want to touch what Andre has mentioned, because I think it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I think it's very important that we connect this with what's here, because it says, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For His Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except through the Spirit of God." Now that's what we've been saying. That's what Steve just said. But then it goes a step farther. "Now we've received not the spirit of the world," that's the spirit that we've been talking about, that's the dark force, or the dark side, the darkness that 1 John talks about, the spirit of the world. Then he says, "But the Spirit," this is what we've received, "the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God." Then it goes on and says, "These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches." And here it is. "Comparing spiritual things with spiritual." In other words, we don't just take one verse and run with it and take and twist it and take it out of context. We have to compare Scripture with Scripture. "And in the mouth of two or three witnesses, as Scripture says, let a thing be established." So, you know, we run on one verse and we get in danger. And so he says, "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual," in other words, he who is controlled by the Spirit of God, that's not something mystical, he who is spiritual. It's not mystical. It means the person who is controlled by the Spirit of God, filled and controlled by the Spirit of God, allowing Scripture to work. Then he says, "But he who is spiritual judges all things with" what? "The Word of God. Judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one." And then he says, "For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him?" But we have the mind of Christ. So there's the key. We have the mind of Christ, we have the Holy Spirit, we have the Word of God, and that can keep us from falling prey to these deceptions of the enemy along the way.
So maybe that phrase, "comparing spiritual things with spiritual," is the application, the usage, if we might say it that way. What can we do to make sure that we're not hindering the work of the Spirit of God, who wants to keep us in a right view of Christ, is to make sure that when we think we understand something about Christ, to make sure that we can support that with other scriptures, for example. That might be one, you know, step in that direction to answer that question.